All right, so Romans chapter 10, verse 1, I'm going to read that first verse, and it simply says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." The significance of this verse teaches us that there is power in prayer when it comes to people getting saved. Prayer changes things. We preached on grace this past week on grace changing things. We'll continue that series Sunday morning. But I want to tell you, prayer also changes things. It is powerful. And Paul knew that, and he knew that by him praying for his people, that it would make an eternal difference. And no, and as we go forward for Christ and seeking to share Jesus without fear, we must understand first, we must bathe this matter of sharing the gospel in prayer. We can't go on our own strength. I want you to read this quote by S.D. Gordon. You can fill in the blanks here. It says here that this is the great simple fact of prayer. It gets things done that otherwise wouldn't be done. It changes things that need changing and that otherwise would go unchanged to somebody's damage. Those two blanks are changes things, as you see there. So that quote is so powerful, especially as we think about that last part, that things that need to be changed but will go unchanged to somebody's damage. So what is that lesson to us tonight? We need to understand the great importance of interceding for the lost. For those that God has brought us in contact with, for those in our family, for friends that may not know the Lord, neighbors, whoever it may be, understand that we have a responsibility to pray for them. Now let me say this real quick. The truth is that, as I mentioned last week, the importance of a prayer list. If you don't have a prayer list, let me really encourage you to begin one. Write down names that you're praying for, especially for those that don't know the Lord. And you can work from that daily. And once you start praying for them, I'm going to give you some tools. And I say tools here because that's what they are. You may have a method already that you use for praying for the lost. And if that's the case, wonderful. That's no problem. I'm not trying to veer you off of something that's already working for you. But I'm going to share something with you this Wednesday and, Lord willing, next Wednesday on something that's helped me and how to effectively pray for the lost. I use, of course, the alliteration of C's. And I had four, but now I have five. But we'll only do three tonight because I know many of you, I think three quarters of you, are very sleepy. And so I don't want to go five tonight. We'll go three and pick up again next Wednesday. Our illustration to begin is on the topic of Hurricane Katrina, which just wreaked devastation in our country just a few years ago. And tragically, approximately 1,836 people died in that devastating storm. However, even more tragic is the amount of people that die daily without Christ. That should move us, folks. That should make us gasp for air in our hearts when we think about the fact that it has been estimated that 105 people die each minute of every day, each minute of the day. If that be true, I would venture to say that at least half of those people, according to statistics, and you gather the whole world of all the continents and the countries, all of them together, I would venture to say at least half of those people enter into a Christless eternity. Now, folks, here's the truth. We cannot prevent natural disasters. We see the hurricane coming. Yes, we can pray that the Lord would move it. But the fact of the matter is, they are coming, all right? But one thing we can prevent, I believe with all my heart, and I hope you do, according to the Word of God, we can prevent and play a part in helping prevent people from going to hell. God has chosen us to play a part in helping people come to know Jesus Christ. And a major way of that is prayer. And those are the two blanks there that you see. God's people can help prevent this continual spiritual disaster of souls dying without hope. That is the truth that even Lee Thomas quoted there. So we see that we can make a difference. Now, again, I'm going to give you five C's total. Tonight I'm just going to give you three with what time we have remaining. But first of all, when we are praying for the lost, we need to pray for conviction. We need to pray for conviction. That's blank number one. Conviction to draw a person who is without the Lord. We need to pray that God's Spirit will convince them of their need for Christ. As you notice, that's the next blank. We need to pray that God's Spirit will convince them of their need for Christ. John chapter 16, verse 8, that's letter A, the book of John, chapter 16, verse 8. And when He has come, talking about the Holy Spirit, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Letter B, you'll see there, says a person cannot be saved unless there is Holy Spirit conviction. All right? You have to realize that, especially when it comes to sharing the gospel. I've been around people that were very obviously not under conviction. They did not really care about what you were saying, and they wanted you out of their presence, so they decided that they would tell you what you wanted to hear in order to get you away from them. And there was no conviction, there was just a desire to be away from what was being talked about, and there was no conviction. And I believe that we must understand that one of the most important things to see in people come to know Christ, we need to pray for God's Holy Spirit to convict and to convince that individual that they have a great need for Christ. When I think about people getting saved and I think about my own life, and everyone here I'm sure gives the same testimony in some way, but I can remember I just got under conviction. I just knew I was missing something and I needed something, and I felt guilty and I felt condemned in the sense, and being drawn to the Savior. That was the Holy Spirit's convicting work. He was drawing me. He draws you, and boy, it makes the difference. And that's something that we need to pray for. When you pray for lost people that you have your list, whether it's family, friends, can I tell you, the first C that I would encourage you to pray for Holy Spirit conviction. That God, the Holy Spirit, would penetrate their hearts with His power. Let me read this. It's a little lengthy, not too bad, but let me read this testimony of the great preacher of the past, C.H. Spurgeon. I think this just really shows perfectly of what I'm talking about, conviction. One of the greatest preachers of all time was C.H. Spurgeon. Listen to his testimony of conversion. I confess that I have been tutored in piety, put into my cradle by prayerful hands and lulled to sleep by songs about Jesus. He says, I heard the gospel continually. Yet when the word of the Lord came to me with power, it was as new as if it had lived among, it was as new as if I had lived among the unvisited tribes of Central Africa and had never heard the tidings of the cleansing fountain filled with blood drawn from the Savior's veins. He goes on to say, when for the first time I received the gospel and my soul was saved, I thought that I had never really heard it before. I began to think that the preachers to whom I had listened had not truly preached it. He went on to say that I began to question whether these men were telling the truth. But he said, but on looking back, I am inclined to believe that I had heard the gospel fully preached many hundreds of times before. This was the difference. I then heard it as though I did not hear it. When I did hear it, the message may not have been any clearer in itself than it had been at former times, but the difference was, but the power of the Holy Spirit was present to open my ears and to guide the message to my heart. Now listen, then Spurgeon says, I thought I had never heard the truth preached before. Now I am persuaded that the light shone often on my eyes. but I was blind. Therefore, I thought that the light had never come there. The light was shining all the while, but there was no power to receive it. The eyeball of the soul was not sensitive to the divine beams of the gospel. Listen, Spurgeon's testimony is a powerful illustration of how ineffective the gospel is to a mind that's blinded by it. By a mind that's blinded by it, sharing the gospel with those of whom no one has prayed is like encouraging a blind man to view a beautiful sunset with you. It is a hopeless case, for he is blind and he cannot see. Why was it that I went to church and I know I heard the gospel over and over and over? I heard it when I would go on Christmas. I would hear it even when I went every once in a while. Why was it until 21 that it began, that there's a conviction in my soul and I started being drawn to it? Well, I believe it was the result of people praying. Why is it that we know of people right now that have heard the gospel hundreds of times? They've grown up in it and they hear it and they hear it, but they're not responding. You know why? It's because there's a blindness. And the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. So what does that tell God's people? It tells us that we need to be praying for conviction. That they would become tender and those blinds would be lifted up and that they would fall under conviction. When you think of services where people have gotten saved, you know what it was? People fell under conviction. You know, when I think about these revivals that you hear about, you know, and I'd love to see them again, and I believe we will. But what was a characteristic about these revivals? People were so shook up by conviction of God, that they would tremble in their pews. You'd see white knuckles upon the pews, squeezing the top of the pews so hard because they thought that they were going to be cast into an eternal damnation. Was that because the pastor was waxing eloquent and just had such great oratory skills that these people were just awed and afraid to death? No. I want to tell you what it was. It was the conviction of the Holy Spirit. In church, we need to pray that for our services. We need to pray that for our lives when we go into our workplaces and when we do have opportunity to share the gospel, that there would be a conviction. It's so very important. And we see that that will make a difference. But secondly here, not only do we need to pray for conviction, but we need to pray, on the other side of your paper there, we need to pray for circumstances. Circumstances. We need to pray that there will be some circumstances that will come into their life. And we're speaking in the context of people that who don't know the Lord and that you love and you're seeking to work with and help to understand. How can you pray for them? You can pray for conviction and then you can pray for circumstances to humble them. We need to pray that God would bring unusual circumstances into their life to get their attention. You know, that goes both ways. It can be good. It can be good circumstances. As you notice there in your verse, Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God can do that. It's not always in the negative context. Many times God will draw somebody to Christ because of a blessing that comes into their life. A wonderful blessing that God preserves a life or God conducts a miracle in that life and they see the miraculous power of God and God uses that to draw them. That's a way that you can bring circumstances. But if that doesn't work, then you have to go, well, Lord, if they're not catching on to the blessings you're sending their way, Lord, would you send some trials? Now, one thing I don't do, now you might, but I do not pray but first and foremost, and I don't ever pray first that God would take somebody out. I always pray that God would help them come to know Christ before they drift off into eternity. I believe that God's will is for all to be saved, and I pray for the salvation of all, and we all should, but we should pray for circumstances to break them. I mean, let me just throw this out there. It's what in the notes, but you think about the leader of ISIS. the atrocities that they are committing against Christians specifically. Is there somebody that comes to mind that wrote most of the New Testament that would fit right into that category at one time in his life? The Apostle Paul. He was murdering Christians. The same thing they're doing. So why don't, when we think of ISIS, the first thing we think is, kill them all! But why not, oh God, reach them with the gospel! Help them to hear about the gospel and be saved. And maybe one of those leaders of ISIS will get born again and become a great missionary preacher among those people. You see, sometimes we forget about the power of prayer and how it can change the heart and God bring things into their life to change them. You know, that's what we need to pray for, circumstances, for difficulties, any difficult circumstances. And the example there is Mark chapter 2, verse 5, there in letter B. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. What was going on in that context? Well, for sake of time, I'm not going to go there. But the situation was, this man needed to be healed. And his friends got him on top of the roof and lowered him down. And all the effort that was made, that was a critical moment in their life. The man was desperate. He was in a trial. The man needed to be healed. And he knew Jesus was the one. God used providentially in that man's life a sickness. And I want to tell you something. People that you're praying for, don't hold back to pray that God would send trials into their life to draw them to the Savior. Circumstances, they will make a difference. But then thirdly, I want us to see here our third point tonight, and we'll finish with this one, that we need to pray for Christians to be sent. Christians to be sent. That's number three. That's the third C I pray. And that is one that you and I can pray that the Lord would send different people their way. You know, sometimes you get the idea, I'm the only person on earth that can share the gospel with that person. That's so not true, all right? God's got many people, many of His servants, that He can send their way. But as God's people, do we become burdened about the fact that we can make a difference, that God, would you move upon another believer's heart to go to my brother, a family, a blood brother, or to my nephew, or to my cousin, or to my neighbor. I've been there, Lord, I've been there a couple dozen times this year. Would you send someone else? And it will make a difference. We need to pray for God's messengers to be sent to those for whom we are praying. Also asking God to make us an answer to someone's prayer concerning their need of salvation or help to reach a lost loved one. Can I encourage you, church, to pray that you would be an answer to someone's prayer? You ever thought about that? Lord, would you make me an answer to someone's prayer today if I talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, that's what I believe God is expecting us to do. Let me give you a few examples of here of how God used people. And even their own prayer, because there are people out there in our community, all right, who are searching for the truth. They just don't know exactly where to look. Because why? They're blinded. They're blinded. And they got these blinds, and they think they're looking in the right places, but Satan has got them blinded, and they're waiting on somebody to get there and give them the truth. Think about and here in Acts chapter 8, verse 29, and when the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. The Ethiopian eunuch there, who was coming from a time of worship, and he had religion in his life, but he did not have the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He didn't have the truth. So what did he do? He was searching, and what did God do? God said, I want to send somebody to him. And he did. He sent Philip. He sent Philip to go near and to join himself to that chariot. And he, sure enough, as he was looking in Isaiah, Philip just showed up at the right time and said, hey! And the abbreviated version is, hey, how can I help you, sir? And the guy said, well, I want to know how to be saved. I want to know how to have eternal life. And listen, I know they're not at every door. Trust me, I know that. But I do want to tell you, church, they're out there. They're out there. And if we convince ourselves that they're not, we have deceived ourselves. They're out there waiting on somebody. That coworker is waiting on an invitation from you to go get a cup of coffee and to talk about Christ. That family member right now is waiting on a letter from you. They don't even realize it. They're not asking for it. They're not thinking, boy, I sure wish Brinson would send me that letter. But God, the Holy Spirit, because I assume you're praying for conviction upon them. God is preparing their heart. And when these witnesses come through by the Holy Spirit, God uses that. Look at Acts chapter 16, verse 9. You'll see there, I have it written in your notes. That's the blank there at letter B. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. There are people like that praying. And God will send you to them if we are willing Christians. And you can pray that God will do that to others. Look at letter C. That was another example in the book of Acts with Cornelius there. In Acts chapter 10, verse 20, to Peter, he says, arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. You know the context there. We don't have the time to go and to look at that passage. But you know what? Peter did not want to go. That was a transitional time in the book of Acts. And Peter did not want to. God used the meats to teach him that he was to reach the Gentiles and to go unto them as well. And the Lord used that. And that man was praying. That man was searching. And God says, Peter, I'm going to use you. And the Word of God says that go. Go with them, doubting nothing. You know, a lot of times we want to doubt, don't we? Well, Lord, I don't know how this person's going to respond. Well, I don't know how they're going to look at me after this point. I don't know how they're going to receive me. But the truth is, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is saying, hey, go. Go. I have sent you. And then, of course, we see letter D there, Matthew chapter 9, verse 38. Pray ye there for the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So those are the three C's tonight, church, that I really want us to, if you're not currently using anything to pray for the lost, to pray that. Pray that for your workplace. Pray that for your family. Pray that for this church. Would you do that? I'm asking you. I really am. I'm asking you as your pastor. Would you really join me in prayer to pray that in our services, as the gospel goes forth and as the Word of God goes forth, that there would be conviction in the services, that there would be an obvious working of the Holy Spirit in drawing people. I don't know about you, but I'm concerned. I am concerned when I am in life in general as a Christian and I don't see the Holy Spirit working in people's lives. When I don't see Him working in mine and I don't see Him working in others, we need to ask ourselves, why is this? Why am I not seeing anybody saved in my life? I mean, I think that's a good question, church, to ask yourself and for me to ask myself, why am I not seeing it? Is it because the Holy Spirit is not working? Or what can I do, Lord, to change things? What can I do for this person? And so we see the emphasis is on prayer. But then let me share this quote with you, and then we'll move forward in prayer. Jim Elliot was one of the martyred missionaries in 1956. He was a passionate Christian who journaled many of his thoughts and prayers. One such entry addressed his concern about impact. Making an impact on the lost. He wrote, Father, make of me a crisis man. Bring those I contact to decision. Let me not be a milepost on a single road. Make me a fork that men must turn one way or another on facing Christ in me. Do you see what Jim Elliot was praying here? He was praying that the Lord would use him to be that fork in the road, where they would be at a crisis point in their life where they have to receive or reject the gospel. And that's what I believe that tonight as we go into prayer, as we think about these ways to effectively pray for the lost, we pray, number one, for conviction. We pray for circumstances and we pray for Christians to be sent. And if that includes me and if that includes you, Oh, by God's grace, let's do it. Let's make an eternal difference. The next one, too, that we'll look at are clarity for the Holy Spirit to illumine them. And then we'll pray for cover, how to pray for the protection of lost people that they don't get taken out by Satan. And it be eternally too late. We pray for their protection against Satan. And I'll talk more about that here in just a bit. But let's have a word of prayer. Father, I do want to thank you and praise you for the Word of God. Now, Lord, we understand this awesome responsibility to pray for our neighbors, for our loved ones, and our friends that have never truly received the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have no hope. They have no peace. Oh God, would you help us to be a part of them coming to know you? Lord, we need you. We need you in this. We need you to help our church. We need you to help us individually and our families. Father God, we truly want to mean business in this. And so I'm asking, Father, as we move forward in our prayer lives, that as we spend time with you privately and we pray over names that of people that we love and care about dearly, and as the Apostle Paul prayed, that they might be saved. Give us wisdom now and give us strength, give us encouragement, knowing that prayer does truly make the difference. And so, Jesus, we do pray all these things in your precious, holy name. Amen.